But if you could imagine a funnel, many of us imagine that Jesus, the conversation about Jesus, is kind of the top of the funnel. The great big opening. And that Jesus, in that great big opening, can kind of attract anybody. So you meet someone that's dealing with illness and you want to share, which is not wrong, don't get me wrong here, you want to share Jesus as a healer. And so that's this great big Jesus funnel. Or you meet someone who's been through a relational disappointment and you think of how much you've learned from Jesus about relationships, and so you want to share with them hope, either for the restoration of the relationship or healing their heart when the relationship cannot be restored. And that's the big part of the funnel. Some of you have met people that are working through an addiction of some kind. I mean an addiction of any kind. And you see someone on the front end when they kind of realize they've got a problem, but they're not ready to deal with it. And you kind of see that stage of addiction. And then you see someone who's been smashed with the reality of a broken relationship or going to jail or losing their job. And they're in that stage of addiction. And then you see someone who's finally at such a broken state that they look back over their life and they just think to themselves, there is no hope for someone like me. So in the great story of Jesus, what do we want to share? There's hope for someone who's dealing with addiction. So at the top of the funnel, whatever it is, whether it's kind of this hope for healing, this hope for relationship, this hope to overcome an addiction, we say to someone, Jesus has something for you. But now here's part of our struggle. We imagine that at some point we're going to have to squeeze them down into how we do church. And we start to get nervous. Maybe you don't, but if you don't, you might not be sharing your faith a lot. But when you're sharing your faith a lot, you start to get nervous. Because you're in a conversation with somebody, you're sitting at a Denny's or something, whatever's the diner in your town, and you're kind of talking through, and kind of the tears have kind of dried up a little bit. The person realizes that Jesus has something for them. But during the conversation, you've heard various comments along the way. Like they reference a grandmother that's been a giant spiritual influence in their life. But you understand that kind of the grandmother's way of exercising their Christian faith is different than ours. And you begin to think to yourself, oh boy, how am I going to navigate that? How am I going to navigate that grandma's wrong? Have you not experienced this? Shake your head yes, no, or maybe. It'll go faster. Have you not experienced this? Or you hear them make a comment, you know, yeah, my brother, you know, man, he's been an inspiration in my life. You know, he lives out in Idaho and his church is just blowing and going. And then you're listening for all the cues. Is it the right church? Because if it's not, then you think to yourself, how am I going to stuff them down through the shallow or the narrow end of my funnel? So we view Jesus as this huge opening at the top. But we are the destination at the bottom, getting them like us. We want to imagine that somewhere along the way, we are going to have to shave off of these people everything that is not like us. And that can not only be involved in church, that can move over into politics. We're thinking to ourselves, oh no. You know, if you're a Democrat, you're thinking, yikes, I've got a Republican, someone exercise the demon, you know. Or you're a Republican and they're a Democrat. You don't know what's going to happen to the nation if they was to get into our church thinking like that. We can't let anybody know that I think that God's grace could come overcome something like that. I mean, like heal a disease, he could do it. But your political affiliation, well, I don't know. I don't know what could happen there. So we're thinking to ourselves, not only do I have to shave you down so that you'll fit into our vocabulary religiously, I'm going to have to shave you down so that you'll know who to vote for. And see, if we get you voting right and we get you talking right, then we're going to have to go to work on how you dress. We're going to have to go to work on where you live. And eventually what we're doing is the funnel gets narrow and narrow and narrower until finally we can push someone out the other end who is formed in our likeness. We have made ourselves the outcome of a relationship with Jesus rather than making Jesus the outcome of a relationship with us. It's where we positioned ourselves that's messed us up. See, what we've said to people is, come to Jesus and end up like us, instead of come to us and end up like Jesus. It's backward, and that's the problem. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What if we were to flip over the funnel and put church at the top? And kind of just like whatever religious experiences someone is having that's kind of moving them to think about God is at the top. I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this guy was talking about taking letters from the audience of their church. Well, their church not only has the 500 or 600 that go to their church, but they have a website. So they take questions in over the website. Well, they got a letter in from the website. And this guy asked this minister, the guy wrote in and said, I am an atheist and I visited your church with my sister. Why are you so against religion? It just cracked me up. So he actually wrote the email to the guy back. How strange that an atheist is asking a Christian preacher why he's against religion. But he thought to himself, if that's the discussion that draws this person into the funnel where they're moving toward God, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a blessing? If you are growing spiritually, you are not where you started.